Jane. Underneath my voice is Fred Sled Choir from Ithaca, New York.
This is 90.7 FM WGXC. You're listening to Japantha. Meet you later from Pits, Lines, and Rocks.
Sounded like a seagull, turned out to be a siren, but not the good kind, red and blue swine. I've got too many problems, they never seem to end. It all depends on what you call a problem, and when you meet your ending, will Peter be demanding one more question?
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it's either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Aidan O'Connor Jr. of East Durham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty or give me death.
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
2 a.m. Mountain. This is Lieutenant Commander Bill Lewis of the North American Aerospace Defense Command with breaking news on Santa's Yuletide flight. NORAD satellites indicate that Santa is making final preparations before his takeoff from the North Pole. Based on previous years, we expect Santa to head southwest towards the international dateline and to make his first stops in northeastern Russia and then on some of the Pacific Island nations over the next few hours. For instant updates on Santa's journey, log on to www.noradsanta.org.
Thank you. All right, can we put you on the air?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to shut down the radio because I'm assuming you'll get feedback. Hang on a second.
Yes, we'd like some feedback. Now joining us on the phone is Tony Fallon from the Irish show on the WGXC at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights. And, Tony, where are you? You're somewhere else?
Well, I'm down in my store in Cairo at the moment.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Not too far away from you.
All right, and you were going to, tonight you were going to do, you were going to tell a story or read a poem or something?
Well,
what were you going to do?
I write poetry, as you know, and have been for 50 years. My first poem was published about 51 years ago. And when I say I write poetry, I'm not really, I don't get down to it, you know. I don't know if you know Esther Cohen. She had a writing class in the library during the summer. And
She lives part-time in Cornwallville.
Yes. I was very inspired by what she said, if you want to write. And it may sound a little crass, but she said, get your ass in the chair every day. And that's something that I don't do. So if you want to be
You prefer standing?
Writing, you know, she said, sit down, get a piece of paper, and start writing. Doesn't matter what it is, just do it. And naturally, something good will come out of it. So frequently I do write poetry, and of course for many years I wrote for newspapers in Ireland. I wrote one time I wrote for 8 years a weekly column in a paper in Ireland, and for 8 years or thereabouts in New York I wrote for an Irish paper called The Irish Advocate, which was owned by Carol O'Connor's mother. I don't know if you know who Carol O'Connor is, but I'm sure some of the older listeners would know.
Are you talking about Archie Bunker?
Archie Bunker. Archie Bunker's mother owned a travel agency in Queens, and she owned a newspaper. Her brother owned a newspaper. And Carol
so
O'Connor...
Wait, Archie Bunker actually lived in Queens?
Yeah, on 105th Street in Jamaica Avenue. That's where the store was, and they lived somewhere close by. Carol O'Connor's father died very young, and his mother and her brother raised him. So his brother, his uncle was almost like a father to him. And they had a striking similarity. They were built the same. They were the same height. And they walked the same. And when you saw Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker, he was literally the same as his uncle. Not that his uncle was anyway prejudiced or crass or whatever. And I'm sure he actually... was uncomfortable with what Archie was doing or what Carol was doing on television. Because he's a very liberal, nice person, you know. So I wrote for that newspaper called The Irish Advocate for many, many years, and many of my poems were published in that, and many of my poems were published in the newspaper in Ireland as well, called The Roscommon Champion, which went out of business about 2 or 3 years ago, much to my sorrow, because I had a great relationship with them. I had been there for over 50 years. I had either done a column or was free to write whatever I wanted whenever I felt like it. And I had some great stories in it as well. I don't know, up here in the Catfield field, may not remember it, but there was a woman out in an island back in the early 2000s who was 111 years old, and she came from Ireland in the same county as I come from, and I got in touch with her and did an extensive interview with her. That was my thrill of a lifetime, to talk to a woman who was 111 years old.
So and she was born in the 1800s?
She was born in 1893. So that would be in about 2004. And like it was, you know, when you're talking to somebody and she's talking about things that you only read about. And she's talking about the Titanic. You know, she came out here the year after the Titanic sank. And that took a little bit of bravery to... 18 or 19 years old girl she was about 20 at that time. But still, it was a little bit of courage to get on the ship, and I'm sure her parents were very anxious to get a letter from home from her, or get a letter from America from her. And of course, it took 2 or 3 weeks for her letter to get there, so. But I'm sure they knew that she had made it, or they would have heard about another ship going down. But she was incredible. She talked about everything. There was nothing she couldn't talk about. She talked about the revolution in Ireland when Ireland became independent, and how when she was back, went back on a vacation some years later, she went round to political meetings and saw De Valera, who later became president of Ireland, at meetings and riling up the population against the English. And she was wonderful. But anyway, that's not the purpose of my call tonight. One of the poems I wrote was probably sometime in the 70s, and it was about a little bit of a comment about what was happening in the 60s and the early 70s. The war was on in Vietnam, and of course the people who were coming from Ireland here were ripe age for drafting, 17, 18, 19 years old. And they were being drafted in the army, and without the benefit of citizenship. In other words, they were in the army, and if they were 20 or 21 years old, if they were out on a leave and there was an election and they couldn't vote, even though they were ready to be shipped to Vietnam or whatever. And the only way they could become a citizen was by actually dying in Vietnam. They became an instance citizen by being killed in Vietnam. So I wrote a little bit about that. And
then citizenship doesn't really have too many benefits at that point.
Well, no, not when you're dead. But there was a lot of families that I knew who their sons were in Vietnam or were in the army, and they were worried that they were going there. And I had experience with, I guess I could call him almost brother-in-law. His brother was my brother-in-law. And we were friendly, and he was in Vietnam, and he got shot up. And he was missing in action for a couple of days, and rehabilitation to get better. And he died young. And I would imagine that to a certain degree that had something to do with the Vietnam experience, had something to do with him dying young. But the poem is a Christmas poem, because not everybody is happy at Christmas, and sometimes we forget that. And I'm a great believer in Toys for Tots and all of these other programs that go on here to help the people. And, you know, I always throw a few some things or other in the buckets for the, this is Christmas centers. I forget what they call them. The
Salvation Army?
The Army, the Salvation Army. You know, I'm a great believer in all of those things, because not everybody is getting gifts at Christmas, and not everybody is happy at Christmas. So my poem is a little sad about Christmas, and if you don't mind, I'll read it.
No, go right ahead.
Okay. 'Tis Christmas Eve in New York, and snow is in the air. I'm standing on a corner, and I wish I wasn't here. But time has been hard on me, my lad, and I'm down upon my luck. So I'm asking anyone who passes by if they'll lend me half a buck. I know that lend is not the word, and I say it with a sob, for I am not a beggar, and begging's not my job. We came here from Ireland in the year of 61, myself and my missus and our 9-year-old son, to seek our fame and fortune in the good old USA. And be God, we got to like New York and decided to stay. In 1971, the war was on, and our son answered a call. And far away in Vietnam, he did so bravely fall. I know that life is hard, and yet I often wonder why we came so far to live, and he went so far to die. It broke his mother's heart, she couldn't stand the pain, and within 2 years, I was at the cemetery again. So now I was far from home without my pride and joy, and there lying side by side in Calvary was my darling and my boy. I wandered in and out of jobs and was often on the brink. Like many troubled people before me, I turned to drink. I got behind on the rent, and the landlords threw me out. And this cold and damp weather is no good for my gout. I live in shelters on the Bowery now. I have no other place to go. And I often think of the lakes and green fields back home in Sligo. So now I must beg for money for a room and Christmas dinner. Won't you have a little pity on this lonely-hearted sinner? That's it.
All right. My applause button again is in the other room, but everyone out there is applauding right now.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was
a
great start.
Do you have a crowd in the studio?
Excuse me?
Do you have a crowd in the studio?
We do not. There is not a crowd. I don't think there's a crowd in the county right now.
If the air there around the whatever is warm, right?
That's right. If your radio is emitting heat, then we may have a few listeners tonight.
Carmen, can you play sometime before Christmas?
Jesus was a baby. Mary was his mother. Joseph helped out when he could. Jesus was a baby. And Jesus was a baby. And one day would become a man. And all that stuff would hit the fan. Jesus was a baby. But when it all got started, a star appeared above. People saw it shining, traveled from afar. Lit a lamp to see him. Played music in a manger when Jesus was a baby. And Jesus was a baby. Lying in the hay, smiling at the people. Jesus was a baby. And Jesus was a baby. Tug his little finger. Peek-a-boo to you. Jesus was a baby. Cause right at the beginning, was a baby. A little baby. Jesus was a baby.
Oh, that was magnificent. People out there,
really
walk
really
up to your speakers, you look straight at them, and you applaud.
Yes.
And you say, way to go, Carmen. That was fantastic.
That was good.
I thought
that
you were going to
really
say, like, he worked at Walmart or something.
What's that?
I thought you were going to sing that he worked at Walmart and then at the Burger King.
I could add verses. Yeah. I could update it.
You are very adverse, so,
okay.
You know. Add verses.
Can we talk about the secular Jesus?
Can we talk? We can talk about the secular. This is open air. Before that, PDP, really, he sent us a little message. He said that was beautiful. That was awesome. So we're getting compliments from all walks of technology here.
All crawls of life.
All crawls of, okay. of zeros and ones.
Oh, boy.
We're in a baby phase.
Secular Jesus means that he was a man, that he wasn't divine necessarily, but that he really did exist. Because there's some people who claim, like David Icke, that Jesus never even existed at all. Okay, exactly.
Lizard people.
Now, when I was at Siena College taking lessons in religion and taught by a very hip Roman Catholic friar with long hair and beads and everything, and blazer, very handsome, bearded young man. And I said, I was, you know, blasphemous. I said, how we know Jesus even exists? And nobody else in the class really got pissed off or anything, because I said it in a, you know, I was polite and everything. And he said, oh, come on now. There was a Greek, there's a Greek historian, there's a Roman historian, there's a Arabic historian. The Muslims took him as a prophet because he made such a splash. There's too much. You don't want to believe he was divine. That's you gonna go out and do that. But the evidence that the guy really did exist and really walked around and was real, he says very, very real, very true. And that's what I've always
holy said. Blood and the Holy Grail.
That's what I've always believed, because that's what I've heard, you know, from people who supposedly know.
If there's a Holy Grail, are there knights that say, me?
only if you bring us a shrubbery, so back off, buddy.
Well, we'll leave our faith to that. You know, I'm not going to rack my brain over whether the man lived or not, but...
Was there
but I'll buy
a historical
on...
Jesus? Yes, because we know there was a little baby.
Yes, there was.
Well, I was just kind of attracted to the, you know, rebirth and the dead of winter.
Yeah, yeah,
thing,
yeah.
Which is, I think, you know, sort of the beginning of a lot of,
yeah,
you know, thing, you know, a lot of the winter,
yeah, yeah,
festival.
Simon the Zealot has come to visit.
America. Yes, zealots,
wow.
Zealots.
It's snowing. It's been a long, long time. And it's plain why you cross my mind. I guess it's just to say, gee whiz, it's Christmas. It's funny that I haven't thought to call you before. And why is it I haven't seen you around anymore? Another year has passed and I can't erase the memory of your smiling face. So I had to call you up and say,
we're having little Christmas miracles happening while Carla Thomas plays. We were trying to do a little birthday tribute to Carla Thomas, but while we were sitting here, a Christmas miracle occurred. We had our own Leroy Cardfracker jump up and explode through the window, out the door, onto the sidewalk, and start raising the dead. Lepers are being shod with fives and bottles, and now Snoopy Dance.
And wow.
He did no such thing.
Take that back. You tell them people so I did not do none of them things you said. Stop it!
Now he's trying to cure diseases with stamping his feet.
Bombs are bursting in air over here.
Is he Caucasian or African American or Asian?
Santa Claus is whatever you are in that house. See, when he comes down the chimney, let's say that you were Japanese, he would zoom Japanese. See, and then he would come in here, same Santa Claus, zoom African American. I was over to Mr. Jefferson's house. He's Caucasian, you know. And I'm sitting there, Mr. Jefferson left. Santa Claus came down. Zoom! He was Caucasian. looked at me, he said, uh-oh. You understand? So I said, it's all right, he'll be downstairs in a minute, and we gave a high five.
You're making no sense, Dr. Huxtable. No one can change like that.
Are you telling me that Santa Claus, the man who makes toys for little kids, the man who knows if you're naughty or nice, doesn't have the ability to change?
What color is he at the North Pole?
You have to ask Mrs. Santa Claus.
This is the season. My name is Wednesday. My partner is Frank Jones. The chief is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watch at a homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I come down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I have to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when Santa Claus comes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? You got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come by the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey, celery stuffing, oysters maybe, chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
All the trimmings. Cranberry sauce. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks. You know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Did you ever notice that, Joe?
Ever notice what, Frank?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Mm-hmm. Scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see.
The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them carrot sticks. You know them little carrot sticks?
Mm-hmm.
Olives, pickles, scallions.
Mm-hmm. Let's not go through that again.
Love to have you. Go through what again, Joe?
How most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Oh. You noticed that too, huh, Joe?
Homicide Wednesday. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing a guy in a 409-6325-096704.
You mean?
Yeah. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We questioned the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus, a guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah.
You said you didn't believe in Santa Claus?
It's hard to believe what you said. Did you really say that?
Sure I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshot.
Any fingerprints?
Mm-mm, no leading prints. I just know that's all. It's like saying there isn't an Easter bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's your story, mister.
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago on a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah. I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister. I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk right out of this room. Because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm going to prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Yeah, pretty funny. The police department's got nothing else to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
Like the one I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Yes, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be
of a white Christmas, just like the one I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be warm.
And I live at 2627 3rd Avenue in Waterville.
In November of 1997, Bonnie Brzozowski's 9-year-old daughter Vanessa was struck by a car and killed outside the family home in Waterville.
She would have been 24.
Following her death, Bonnie would often bring gifts to her daughter's gravesite. She was dismayed to find that the gifts would vanish without apparent explanation.
I bought statues, lights, solar lights, just things to put on her grave, and they said, I had to call, and they said, no, we throw everything off. We don't allow nothing on the graves but flowers. And I'm like, well, really, flowers are a waste. I mean, you know, for a little girl, I had a little girl statue there about this big I bought from the Christmas tree store. That's funny, though, because she's buried right by there. She loved the Christmas tree store. So I bought her a little girl, and the dog was chasing, and she was, like, blowing bubbles. It looked like she was running. And I had it there for, like, a week, and then it disappeared. And I'm like, what's going on here? You know, couldn't you save them? At least I could pick them up, or I didn't know at that time. So finally I called and they said, no, you're not allowed to put anything on the grave.
Saddened, Bonnie decided to memorialize her daughter in a unique fashion by building an elaborate Christmas village in her Waterville home.
I have to do it for her because I can't get her gifts anymore or anything, you know, and it's been such a long time. It's been 15 years.
In the front living room of the Brzozowski home, a sprawling micro-city teems with life. Victorian figures skate, shop, and stroll through the elaborate city. A tapestry of mesmerizing vignettes provide ample fodder for holiday reverie. Every year, the miniature town grows according to Bonnie's whim and the inspiration provided by the memory of her daughter.
Well, Vanessa always loved carnivals, so my goal this year is to make this carnival. Goes around. She's got a little shooting gallery. She always loved to play the games also. In the fire department, it's one of my favorites. That's always good to inspire the children with, you know, but I have that all by the schools. Besides this other little school here, which Vanessa always loved to jump rope and hopscotch. So I was like amazed when they came to me. I'm like, wow, she loves that, you know. Mm-hmm. And the animals, the wilderness, we used to always take them to the wilderness. She loved the wilderness. Sleigh riding, skating, and the piece in the middle with the woman and guy, that reminded me of my sister Joni and Gordon, because they were such awesome waltzers. Them two, they could waltz so nicely together, you know. So I says, oh, I have to get that piece. Then my fishermen, we did a lot of fishing when we were little, a lot of creeks and ponds and, you know, so she just, you know. Yeah, a lot of the things I do make, only because it's hard to afford it, you know. So I make the bridges and the North Pole, and I made the little Bumbles in the back. You see Bumbles in the back? I made him. you know, I started a few years ago, and each year I'm getting bigger and bigger. But, you know, a lot of people give me little pieces, odds and ends. My brother came. I had it all done. This wall was different. And then my brother came and, well, here you go. So I had to reset it all up and put my swans in there. And, you know, a lot of these pieces, like the lights and stuff, I used to put on my daughter's grave. Vanessa, she's over there. Uh-huh. That's the little one. Each year, they, you know, each year I add on for her, because that way we can all enjoy it. This is what she wants. And believe it or not, some of the scenes, she inspires me. No, Mommy, do it this way. No, I want this, you know? It just seems like that, anyway. But under here, you can see where I have Crystal Mountain, and then I have the waterfalls coming down into the pond, and then the creek taking it down to the lake, and then to the park, and then to the wilderness.
The village is partially comprised of prefabricated elements, alongside Bonnie's ingenious manipulation of common found materials.
These are all pallets from work. I saved them. I got a couple more tables that I got given to me. See, these all wooden pallets. I have five of them. I have two here. I have one here. One here. And then the other one's in the back by the North Pole. I work at the New York State Bar Association. I work in the Continual Educational Warehouse, which is in Green Island, and then I go into Albany at night and I clean. Then in the summertime, I work at the Thoroughbred Tracks, Belmont and Saratoga Flat Track, and I go down to Pimlico. It's awesome. Again, working around animals.
Bonnie begins work on the village every November.
I get out of work at 9 at night. I do it, you know, at nighttime. I start the weekend after Halloween, and I start with my platforms and my tables and just work my start on top and work my way out. I love nature. Nature's really what got me to do all this. And then people said, wow, look at that. It's so beautiful here. I got something for you.
Bonnie intends to continue the memorial to her daughter for years to come.
It's definitely a tribute every year in my house from now on. I would rather have that than a big tree. This tree's all I need every year. That's what I do every year. I put it up with little things and put her picture at the bottom because she loved this time of year. She couldn't wait for the first snowstorm so we could go running out skiing or skating. Let's go skating today, Mommy. She loved to skate and ski and ski board, and she loved that.
Through the memory of Vanessa, Bonnie finds renewed inspiration and comfort through the process.
I enjoy it. I enjoy doing this every year. I'd love to do it for a living. I would. I'd work all year round on it. Definitely. It's awesome. But she would want this. This is what she would definitely want. She wanted me to build. Like, I would have no idea how to do this, and I would, but she'd like, no, Mommy, I want it this way and that way. You know, I just get thoughts in my head. She don't actually tell me, but I'm sure she inspires me, because I'll put something somewhere and then I'll say, ah, shoot, I better put it here. Every year, it's like, oh, man, you know, but sometimes it happens. What are you going to do? Just got to learn to deal with it. Yeah. Got all the grandkids driving me crazy, you know, so.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snow
but I have a blue.
Let's just say that on this day, a million years ago, a dude was born who most of us think was magic. But others don't, and that's cool. But we're probably right. Amen.
Amen.
One, two, three.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Vixen lifts and all his reindeer falling down the rain. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. He's got a bag that's filled with toys for the boys and girls again. Hear those sleigh bells jingle, jangle, what a beautiful sight. Jump in bed and cover your head, cause Santa Claus comes tonight. Hey!
Merry Christmas! I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Oh, when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white, but I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Sidewalk, dressed in holiday style, in the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner you'll hear silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells.
Even stoplights blink bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene, and above all this hustle, you'll hear silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells.
Hear them ring,
soon
he comes now, the big hand.
I'm Mr. White Christmas. I'm Mr. Snow. I'm Mr. Icicle. I'm Mr. Ten Below. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow. He's Mr. Icicle. He's Mr. Tenderloaf.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch.
He's too much.
I never wanna know a day that's over 40 degrees. I'd rather have a 30, 20, 10, 5, and then it freezes.
He's Mr. White Christmas. He's Mr. Snow.
That's right.
He's Mr. Icicle. He's Mr. Tenderloaf.
Friends call me Snow Miser. Too much.
Too much.
Stop by with your hubby sometime and we'll have a blizzard.
Where to now? You heard the man. We've got to see Heat Miser.
I was afraid you'd say that.
On, Blitzen.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun. He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101.
They call me Heat Miser. Whatever I touch starts to melt in my clutch.
He's too much.
Thank you. I never want to know a day that's under 60 degrees. I'd rather have it 80, 90, 100 degrees. Oh, some like it hot, but I like it really hot.
He's Mr. Green Christmas. He's Mr. Sun.
Too much.
Here's Columbia County jazz drummer Bobby Previtt with Charlie Hunter and their 2015 holiday release. This is Good King Wenceslas.